to the CNC Gamecast, episode number 214, a weekly podcast created by gamers and streamers who like to discuss the latest gaming topics from the previous week. We stream a new episode every week on the weekends, and so do us a favor and show us some love. Like, follow, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, the CFG channel, or go to our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com, to not miss an episode. If you want to throw in some ducats our way and support the podcast itself, you can always become a VIP member by going to the CFG.store for some uninterrupted fun, and as well as Vicky G, Red Velvet, and excuse me, Smooth Silver to be a part of the fun festivities. So there you go. But I am Mr. CFG Games himself, Davis Green, and with me today I got my two awesome co-hosts. I got Lex and Smitty today. What is going on, my cyborg?
Stop laughing, Smitty. It would be hysterical if when you say what's going on, my cyborg, if Smitty was like, thank you, also, and then just started. I'm waiting for that one day. You know what? I didn't game a lot this week. I did play a new game called Content Warning. A little glitchy here and there, but it is hysterical. I got Dust to play with me and a friend and her partner last night, so it was two couples playing, and we did have a blast. I can't seem to get past like the second view count because it's like, okay, 3,000 is your goal. You hit that within a 3-day period. And then after that, it goes up to like 45K. Like, dang, like, what do we got to do for that? Like, we're dying left and right. Come on now. it's not game? That scary. No. So it's basically your, I don't know if you've ever seen these, the youngins watch it a lot, but basically it's like these YouTubers who go into these like abandoned places and find spooky things, when in reality there's nothing spooky, but you are a cartoon. So imagine like, oh gosh, like Demonologist mixed with what's it called? Lethal Company. So you're a cartoon and you get a camera and there's, you know, up to four of you and you go down in this, it's called a diving bell. So you go into like the underworld or like the underneath, I think is what it's called. And you walk around and you have a maximum amount of stamina, oxygen, and how much you can record. And so you kind of just pretend like you're a YouTuber. And then when you're done, you come back up and you upload it to the spook tube is what it's called. And you try to get as many views possible. And it's hysterical because the comments are funny. It's a good time. There are some like weird little glitches here and there, like our sound cut out a few times. But we were able to fix it and keep our items. But we kept finding stuff. I've never found stuff before. We found a bunch of stuff just laying around as far as like tools are concerned. And don't ever give Adam the boom mic if you play with him. He is not good at holding back the bad guys and certainly will get you all killed. Yeah. You know?
Wow, you're calling him out like that.
he'll jump in the chat terrible. And say, yeah, don't give it to me. But he walks around with the pro flashlight like it's a bat. So that was hysterical. But yeah, I didn't play a lot this week. Haven't been feeling great. But I'm finally caught up on my sleep. So yay. Hopefully next week will be a lot better. But yeah, that's all I did this week as far as gaming.
All right. Hey, but Lex.
Yeah.
You know who's one step closer to finishing his his backlog
and his
gaming list?
It is not the 5-star general.
It's definitely not the 5-star general, but it probably should be. But it is the 5-star general, the itty bitty Smitty committee. I got Smitty in the third seat. What's going on, my dude?
Like I said, Once Human, the closed beta test number 3 is out. It came out. They actually had to push it back a day late. It was supposed to come out on the 3rd, and they pushed it back a day, so it ended up coming out on the 4th. I hopped into that. I absolutely love that game. I was playing with Doc here the other day, so I'm ready to put some serious hours into that. I've been looking at getting back into Scum as well. I think they're close to finally launching out of early access. And that's one of my favorite survival crafting games. So I'm kind of in that mode. I don't really have any like story. I still need to get freaking Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, dude. I haven't even picked it up yet. That and Spider-Man 2. Or maybe, I might have even gotten Spider-Man 2 and I just haven't started playing it yet. So those are kind of on the short list of games for me. But, I mean, we can't go a month without some sort of amazing game coming out that I have to play. So we'll see how it goes.
Is but there any game that you're actually anticipating for this month?
Not really. This month is, I know that there's some stuff coming out. I know Sea of Thieves is going to be on PlayStation, I think, towards the end of this month. Or it's not Sea of Thieves. Was it Sea of Thieves?
Skull and Bones?
Yeah, it was Sea of Thieves.
No. I know. I couldn't remember if it was the end of this month or early May.
Well, we'll find out.
I know they announced that stuff. I think Grounded comes to consoles this month as well. So, like, and again, I'm not going to, that doesn't mean I'm going to pick it up and play it. But really for me, my focus has just been on like getting my reels and stuff like that, more work stuff than anything. So, just haven't, you know, been limited. And obviously Helldivers 2 still has my love and my attention. So really, I gotta say, like, these live service, type of games, just, they got me good. Destiny Into the Light. It's a huge expansion or a huge thing update from them. It's going to continue with the story. This kind of is the in between for the Final Shape, which comes out, I think it's June. It's either June or July. I think it's June 6th. But that's around the corner as well. And obviously I got to finish that Light and Dark Saga. I still need to catch up. I have been sleeping on this because it's like a 6 month season. And the story elements are done, so I just haven't been playing it. There's a lot. We got a lot of work to do.
Well, we got a lot of work to do. Sea of Thieves comes out April 30th on PlayStation 5. Soapy the Death Knight on Twitch says Stellar Blade's also one that's highly anticipated.
Stellar Blade. Davis play the demo the other day. It looked great.
Then you got Sandland, Akira Toriyama's last game that's coming out this month, too. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good games that are coming out this month too. So yeah, you're right. Now games that I'll say on day one, I don't know, but Stellar Blade might be. But like Smitty said, I did play Stellar Blade the demo, which you know
I enjoyed watching you play it.
I usually don't like playing demos, but this one I was like, yeah, usually I wanted to try this one out because I've heard a little, I mean, I've seen the look of it and it always looked kind of, the look feels kind of plastic kind of to me for my taste, but I like the style of gameplay, especially when you're fighting monsters and stuff, the way that you fight kind of like reminds me of a Souls-like game. So I was interested in wanting to play it. So I did. And if you're wanting to check that video out, we have it on our YouTube page on the CFG channel, and it has my raw take about it. Personally, I think that the game is good for the most part. There were some weird things like one of the options that you could do is like you could either have long hair or short hair, and I was like wondering to myself when I first saw that before I started the game, I'm like, why would that even be an option? Then I looked at it like, oh, okay, now they know why. Because long hair was ridiculous, was just distracting for me, so I just had to go short hair for it. But the gameplay was pretty fun, and I would definitely suggest, I can't wait to mess around with it, give it, like, you know, fully beat it and see how it's gonna go. So that was
great.
Then I've been consistently playing some more Helldivers 2. Helldivers 2 is a game that you don't have to seriously sit down and think about story or anything. It's just go and just kill and destroy and stuff.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and they just announced the new Warbond that's coming out next week on Thursday, next Thursday. So I'm just like, okay, so I'm going to save all my credits right now and save all my my medals for the new Warbond. So right now I'm currently at 250 right now, but I need to get up. I want to get up to at least, I need to get up to at least 400. So that's my goal by Thursday, so I could get like a lot of the deal, and I need to also get enough credits. I think I'm only at 900 credits right now, So
wait, are you talking about super credits?
Yeah, super credits.
So you're close. I think I'm only like, I'm not even close. What's nice about that though is that there's stack. So like it, you no matter what, those war bonds will be there. You can pick them up and you can get them. You can get them with I'm not paying any money. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting it via super credits. When I get the 1,000 super credits, then I'll get the war bond. Unless I feel and froggy or have some extra like disposable income, but right now ain't the time.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally understand. Yeah. So it's like, it's not limited. So definitely appreciate that. And then some of these things, like I just love the stuff that they're just adding weekly to this game. It's just crazy. Like now you have a quasar cannon, and then now you basically have an AT-AT that the mechs have now, which is really ridiculous.
I haven't even seen that yet. We got worked by the ships, dude.
Oh, the gunships. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's one of the two things they added. The guns. Well, yeah, because like, if you're not loaded out correctly to shoot out things from the sky, then you're screwed. And then that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, like there was this one. It's a giant walker. It's like a four-legged walker that the mechs have. And it's just like a walking tank. It just looks ridiculous. So it looks about, it's not the size, it's not as big as the Bile Titan, but it is, it looks awesome. So yeah, so no, definitely loving the game. I am not getting tired of it, and it's simple. It's nice, simple, random fun. So let's go on that. Anyways, I know you don't want to talk about any more strategies in Helldivers 2 and Fight for Democracy. So let's go through the normal rigmarole that we like to do each and every week. So each of us chooses a topic in the world of video games that happened in the world of video games in the previous week. The topic would or could be a game itself or something that happened in the gaming industry itself. And we don't want to talk about it amongst ourselves. We want you, the listeners and viewers on Twitch, YouTube, and on Kick to be a part of the conversation as always. So if there's something that you're wanting to chime in about on whatever we talk about, by all means, just type it inside the chat. We would love to discuss it with you as always live when we do the stream. So I will go first. I know I didn't go through the top. I don't know. I didn't get go through the who goes first, but I'll go first because I already posted it already, but I want to talk about like Tekken 8 has had an insane week. Like, Of just random news. Like, there's a lot of things that happen with Tekken 8. First off, Tekken had a patch update. A major patch update that happened earlier this week. There was two things big that happened with it. First off, Eddie Gordo was added as the first DLC character for Tekken. And then they also did some balancing, with the game itself, because long story short, Devil Jin is a ridiculously powerful character in this game. I mean, it's a good. So, you know, the natural thing you would have thought would be they're going to nerf Devil Jin. No, they did it actually backwards. They actually nerfed the characters around Devil Jin is one. But I think the bigger issue is like the kind of nerfs that they did. So according to Bandai Namco, Tekken 8's latest patch broke some of the physics on tornado moves at the wall, as well as there's a character named Zafina who basically doesn't have a spine. She's very flexible. But unfortunately, this change broke certain combos. So like, so for instance, there's a mechanic when you hit them in the wall, that you can do either extra an extra attack, or depending on the stage itself, an explosion attack that causes the character to bounce. But there's times and there's instances on certain characters where the character themselves gets thrown into the wall, gets clipped through the wall, so it doesn't activate the mechanics that you're naturally needing to do. And then there's also a 50-50 depending on the situation on how some of these characters are characters get dropped by in the corner. These are just, mind you, this is not all the update the broken issues that were happening in Tekken that was causing a lot of issues, but this was causing a major uproar because not like a lot of Tekken's combos are wall combos and a lot of different juggles and strength and stuff like that. All different kinds of things to a point where it is actually going to affect you when you play the game. Another interesting glitch is this. If you have a character that has a ground throw, like you can do a crouching throw, you can throw them while they're crouching, and then let's say the other character does a super move, the animation gets cut from the person that does the ground throw, and because like there's a fluid animation that happens when you do a super move, like, you know, like where it shows you like a close-up of the guy's about to do his move. The character with the grappling move can actually go through, like, can sidestep, like, actively live and go behind the character while he's still going through that animation and still beat basically get free hits off of you. Yeah. So there's a lot of different kinds of weird things that are happening that are happening on this. Now, I'm not. Okay, so I'm not mad yet about this because people's feedback. I will say this: Bandai Namco kind of didn't do them a good service on them because, like, what their reply back with all these weird issues. They were saying, like, their reply back to all of this was like, "Fighters, we have confirmed the following unintended character behaviors in patch 1.03.01. There's only two things that they listed: Zafina's backdash and tornado moves. And then but they were not listening to the clipping issues on the wall, the other issues. I mean, the execution of that was really messed up. However, because of this backlash, you know they're going to go back and they're going to try to fix some of this stuff yet either. So, there's a lot of different kinds of moving parts on this where I feel like this game, when they break something like that, they're going to fix it. But I think some of the other things that kind of got me about this either was the aggressive microtransactions that they're doing for this game, which is egregious, dude. You're already paying $70 for the game. Then on top of that, you could either get the DLC pack, which is like the DLC characters that you're going to have to get, which is usually about four or five characters. Costs about another 20 or about 30 bucks. I think it usually costs about 30 bucks for the DLC season one pass. But then on top of that, they're telling you that there's going to be a battle pass that you can also purchase for and then that is like, what the hell, dude? What is this? Why are y'all going to be like, a person's going to be paying, it costs, I think, 600 in-game currency to do it. However, you can't pay 600 in-game currency. Xbox, yeah, because the way it's listed, Xbox, the lowest denomination that you can pay for these kind of games is $10. So by default, you're putting in $10 for a six dollar DLC or a season pass that you're gonna have to do monthly.
So it's trash.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I'm just thinking to myself, and you know what? They did the same thing in Tekken 7, to be honest with you, and it was just dirty. But they're really aggressive. Like, they've shut down modders who have been modding the game itself, like, with cease and desist letters about, like, changing some of the stuff on this. So it just doesn't look good on the aspect of Tekken and how aggressive they are trying to be for this stuff. So, yeah, I just don't know what the hell is going, like, with Tekken, man. Like, and this is all, and mind you, this all happened in a week's worth of time. This is just this previous week. So I guess the last thing I'll come up with before this, because there's a lot of good news itself. Yeah, and then that, and Soapy the Death Knight says Battle Pass isn't even that good either. And that's
what's in the Battle Pass.
Basically Battle Passes will come with like the stickers, the emotes, it's terrible. Like, it's not even, I don't know if they have outfits, or if they allow you to get, like, you know, because, you know, accessories and stuff. Because one thing about Tekken that you could do with your characters is accessorize your characters quite heavily. in it to make them look like completely different characters. But overall, I don't know how much they have behind a paywall for that. But most of them, it's just random pieces, like random digital tchotchkes. That's basically what it is, you know. So
is there a paid tier and a free tier?
And there's a paid tier, but the free tier is like four things. Exactly.
Here's one of those dollars
towards kazoos. Yep. Soapy's even confirmed barely any character stuff. So most of the stuff is just, it's like, what is this? This is stupid, like, for the most part. Like, why are y'all doing this to y'all's community? Like, you're trying to squeeze them dry like this? But anyways, I digress. Another good thing I love, the thing I loved about this was that there was a, early at the beginning of the week, there was a post on Reddit that they said specifically, like, that there was, they were asking Harada-san, the producer of Tekken, to be, sorry, the typing's just irritating. It's kind of getting me a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, what's it called? The there was a post on Harada-san, the deal from Tekken. There was a guy who was asking, could you please add Waffle House as one of the stages into the game?
No.
So then Harada comes back, because Harada doesn't know the history of Waffle House here obvious reasons. So he comes back, and then let me see. I've had the post of what he says. Oh yeah, he says, Harada says this. He says, okay, I will only ask once about this request. Why do some communities send me requests for Waffle House? Please be sure to explain the basis for this request, including the original story, the story, history, and background. I look forward to the explanations for someone who knows more. And that opened a floodgate of responses, but they were all true. They were freaking amazing. They were like, some of them were like saying, like Waffle House's was the get together place for American fighters to be in the front. And even the staff is also yoked up in the fight in the fight itself. I love that. And then they were saying Waffle House is a U.S. chain restaurant that culturally is heavily associated with brawling because the employees are trained to defend themselves because of clientele for inexplicable predisposed of to fighting each other or the staff. And it's so true.
It's
so
crazy true.
It is so true. And so I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, if they could get if Waffle House themselves says yes to that, and then the allowing Harada song, I would be like, this is freaking gold. I would, like, with all the other issues, I will buy the DLC pack just for the Waffle House itself. That's what's going to happen. That's a cross promotion synergy at that point. So I know there's a lot to unfold here, but I just wanted to get y'all's opinions. I mean, there's either the glitches that are happening. I'm not mad about the glitches because I know they're going to fix them. I guess the real question is how long it's going to take them. There's the aggressive microtransactions that they're pushing out on this, and a Waffle House stage. So choose your poison.
Oh, please let me go first. Okay, so a lot of East Coast and like West Coast people don't also know the history of Waffle House to the extent. So it's specifically Southern Waffle Houses have this issue of the mass brawling inside of them. As a punk rock kid in Houston, going to Waffle House after a concert on a Sunday morning usually resulted in me coming home with a black eye or two. And yes, the cooks do grab chairs and also hit you with them. So fair warning. That is hilarious. I don't have the game. I will buy the game if they add Waffle House in it. And then I will pay more money for that stage. I'm just saying. I do find it hysterical that the Battle Pass is $6, but you can't buy $6 worth of the 600 Tekken coins to get it. Of course, you have to spend more money and you'll have leftovers. Now, I did read in an article that it said, You can get the battle pass, but if you fork out a little bit more, you can skip like a third of the battle pass and like immediately have those items in your inventory. Sure. So then it would come out to about $12. That's a little bonkers for me. I'd also read that the season pass was like 109, but I assume that's with the game.
That's what the game. Because, like,
obviously, that's too ridiculous, right? I don't know. I feel like all these game creators are getting real money hungry. I don't understand where y'all's profits are going, that you feel that you need to then add more monetization within the games. It's a little frustrating for me, especially when my topic comes up. We'll get there. But yeah, Waffle House, yes, please.
That's I will say this though, because Scyther, Real Scyther asks, isn't that illegal? And the answer is no, because technically, Bandai Namco isn't the one that's in charge of the currency change itself. They're just putting the price of whatever their DLC is. But it's behind whatever Microsoft says,
the minimal amount.
So, I mean, and this is not the first game that's done something like this before, Destiny was like that too.
They increased their price so that it doesn't, so that the base amount that you can get on Steam, you have to get more than it in order to afford the stuff, dude. It's so janky.
Dreamlight Valley also does it too.
Yeah, so it's a common practice, unfortunately, when it comes to that. I guess the big thing that's really frustrating is the fact that you are constantly going to have to upgrade this game. If you are a fighter in this community, specifically if you're a Tekken 8 player that loves to play Tekken, you're going to already be giving them money for the DLC packages that you're going to be doing to keep the game updated and getting all the characters and stuff like that. However, the level itself, like, for them to just say, oh, here you want some stickers and stuff like that, the least amount of effort of the level that you can do is just they're like, okay, you have to give us $6 for this and stuff, and then you have to constantly playing. Smitty, I kind of want to get your take on this.
Junin, real quick, sorry. Yeah, absolutely. Their Eververse sword and all that stuff is out of control, and like for vents and stuff like that. Like I hate their microtransactions. Here, first off, I am not a fan of full-fledged games having a battle pass, especially a paid battle pass. Mm-hmm. I've always had an issue with fighting games and locking fighters behind a paywall. It gives an unfair advantage to those that can't afford these DLCs. And then when you come to competitive things, I don't feel that that's fair, plain and simple. So I have a problem with that out the gate. And that's the whole fighting game community, because I'm pretty sure that's standard in the fighting game and for fighting games.
I mean, they've always done it, even back in the Super Nintendo days.
I hate it, dude. We got Evo around the corner. It's really concerned, or like, just, I mean, it's what's the word I'm looking for?
Disconcerting.
No. I don't even know if that's what I'm saying. It's not good.
Awful?
They are having these crazy issues with Evo here around the corner, right? So that's another thing. I mean, I've been saying it here since last Evo. It's like, yo, dude, like Street Fighter 6 is out. You got Mortal Kombat 1, Tekken 8's around the corner. You got freaking Project X or whatever the hell they call it coming out sometime. Like, I was like, this is a big time for fighting game community. So to hear that Tekken has, I just don't like the approach that they're taking, and especially the aggressiveness of their microtransactions. It's a full-fledged $70 game. Then you gotta buy a freaking battle pass. Or you don't have to buy it, but then there's a battle pass that they will get people to. Mm. People, they design those things to make you want to get them, to make you feel like you need that stuff. And again, I don't know exactly, you know, if it's all cosmetic stuff, great. I don't care. Go for it. People are fool enough to get cosmetics or whatever, then hey, that's on you. And I'm not gonna lie, I've gotten cosmetics too. So yeah. You know what I mean? Like I'm also a fool. They get it sometimes. That stuff is designed to get your money out of your wallet.
Well, here's the thing though. I'm just saying this, I don't mind a battle pass. I don't mind the battle pass at all. First off, when it comes to the deal, well, it depends, but I think it depends on what the battle pass, like the access for the battle pass. For instance, free to play games, freemium games, like let's say multiverses and stuff like that, needs battle passes for it to survive because it's a free to play game.
Right.
Same thing for like Marvel Snaps, because technically Marvel Snap is a battle pass every month for $10.
Oh, absolutely.
And stuff like that. I'm cool with that because technically that is their lining of how much they can get money to bread come in for their game. I don't like it when you're
charging people to play.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't like it when they're saying that same stuff, like the random stuff that you don't necessarily, that's just accessories or just like little stickers or reactions and stuff like that, that could be easily not behind a paywall because you paid the full value of the $70, $80 game that you did. That shouldn't even exist. I can, like, the DLC itself, like, and don't get me wrong, games are getting more and more expensive to make, especially AAA level of games. At that point, if that's your understanding of why you're doing that, and then justifying why you're jacking your prices up on your game itself, then you jack the price up the game, you don't put this BS of this season pass or whatever, these premium passes and stuff, and you leave it at that. DLC content is a totally different story because DLC, that means that they're actively working on new characters inside their game, the game itself while it's live, because like some of this, like now back in the day, he wasn't a character locked. They were in the process of creating him. I mean, creating him back into the game, like the season, like season one and season two and stuff. That's a whole different conundrum in itself. If you're gonna make DLC characters, I'd rather make new DLC characters or stuff like that. I definitely understand what you're saying with that.
Don't give me so much been playing since Tekken 2.
Exactly. Tekken 3. I know. What are you saying, son? But you know what? But the reason why they kind of did that they're falling on that mentality is because how bad Street Fighter 3 failed. So because when they decided to create new characters and stuff, like, and no one knew who these characters were because the only new characters that were coming back was Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li in Third Strike back in that time.
That's crazy.
Then people didn't know who Remy or 12 or Q and stuff were at all.
I don't know any of those people right now.
Exactly. So their main fear of that was the fact that if they made a brand new cast of characters and then they don't have people that were going to be related to, then they were... They needed to make a balance. Now, I think the middle ground, in my opinion, is that if they mix new with old, I'm fine with that. I don't know if that's the case because they haven't announced who their secondary character is going to be. But real quick before I switch over, but what Scyther was talking about legal for a minimum with card spending itself, the card itself, like, it's not like you're not, they're not giving falsified. The game itself is charging its own specific currency amount. It's not specifically a valued amount because it's their in-game currency.
Correct.
So that's 600 whatever they call it, Tekken bucks or whatever they call
Rublux.
It in that, yeah, Rublux or whatever. But it's not a real it's a digital currency itself. So now from the outside sense of that, that means that if you're wanting to pay for that said currency, there's a value rate towards that. Now, that's not on the connection between the game itself. That's a connection between Microsoft, because you're going to have to pay, you have to convert your money into the digital money from the Microsoft store. So and their rules are completely separate from the game. That's how they're getting around that.
So
that's
not how, illegal, yeah, technically, but
exactly,
kind
of. Exactly. Well, yeah, and that's kind of like how what Steam does too, because Steam says a $10 Steam in your Steam wallet, because you remember the minimum that you can get with Steam is, I think it's $5. You have to, yeah, like the minimum is a $5 charge towards them.
Correct.
So that, yeah, so that's how they get around that. So
I ran into that issue recently.
Ugh. Yeah. So
Thanks.
Yeah, were you gonna say something like on top of this? I didn't know.
No. You said exactly what I was gonna say. It's because it's two different companies, and so in that realm, they get away with it because one company says this is our minimum, this is what you have to pay, and the other company says, well, but this is only X amount. They knew how much the minimum was gonna be. They knew that prior to making that amount, they could have set it up to work with that, but they don't want to because that forces you to then pay into it later on because I have some money left over, but not enough to get the next battle pass. And so it's their way to kind of trick you into continuing to run this stupid cycle. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is with Destiny. You have a little bit left over. That's if you don't buy anything through the season.
So but it's not enough
to be able to get the next thing or really do anything with it.
I'm so close. It's like, oh, there you go. Overwatch does it too. Yeah, I know. I mean, like,
well, Well, you know, they changed next season, or is it? Yeah, next season. They're no longer putting the heroes behind the paywall. All of them will unlock and open up if you did not get a chance to do that.
I have to say though,
I thought that was dumb of them to do that in the first place.
Why? Yeah, they didn't do it before.
Yeah, like, dude, Destiny's one of the most predatory
No, we said Overwatch.
Games that are out there. Wait, what?
We're talking about Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Yeah,
Overwatch. Overwatch had a paywall behind the characters.
So the new characters were on the battle pass, and you had to get to a certain level, or you could just outright buy them. Mm-hmm. So either you have to grind the game. So
you had a choice between earning them and just buy the character. How much is a character?
I think it was $10 for the battle pass.
But you had to for the battle pass, you have to earn, but that's still the process. You would have to earn it, right? So how much would it be if you didn't want to earn it? You just wanted to buy the character flat out.
$10.
I just said $10, Mother Trumpet.
Oh, same thing? Oh.
It's for the battle pass, essentially. The premium battle pass.
Right. I can tell you how many people I know that were like, I'll just buy the battle pass and I'll grind it out. Didn't end up making it to the end to get the character. Yeah. So then they had to pay another $10. It's just, God forbid, they miss out on a character. Oh my God.
It's the same thing as Marvel Snap. You can buy the battle pass, you get the card immediately, or you grind to a certain level and then you get the card through there.
Yeah.
If you make it to that far, you got to put it in the time.
Unbelievable.
That's a daily grind.
Jesus.
It's free, but you have to grind it out.
Well, we already know where I stand with Overwatch.
Like people that didn't play Overwatch 1, they had even base characters locked. And you have to, I can't remember what it is, how you even unlock them.
You unlock more abilities for them if you already have them. And it's
crazy.
Shut up. Why are you doing this?
What they did. Yeah.
So I stopped playing.
Oh, my goodness.
Secretly.
Among other things.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That sounds terrible.
I still play.
I know you're still playing. Hey, you know what? You already know the kind of shenanigans that they're in and that you're cool with it. That's on you, man.
I'm doing it. I had somebody else hooking me up.
Hey, fair enough. You know what? Yeah. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Big Tim says Fortnite's been doing that for years. Through the game is free, but you have to buy the battle pass and characters that you still want. And
bread
the
and butter.
See, I have no problem with
bread
that.
And butter.
I don't care.
Here's the difference.
I don't care about any of the skins or any of that stuff. So Fortnite, I just play on my
Fortnite isn't aggressive to you as the player to say you have to get this character or to get to this point. That it's all 100% cosmetic. And plus it's a free to play game on top of that. So you can choose as the player to do it. Well, I mean, like I said,
when it was not free to play.
Me too. I bought the PvE version of it. Really? But they weren't saying in the PvE side that you had to pay for their season pass just to continue in towards it. It was just the game.
They're literally just skins and emotes and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't care, dude. Again, if people want to spend their money on that stuff, that's their prerogative. Yeah. I don't feel like I have to get that stuff. You know what I mean?
I think
Junin. Oh man,
go for
Can
it.
I say it?
Yeah, all go right. for it.
Overwatch is like Walmart. Doesn't make me happy, but I still go. Same girl, same.
Yo, those are the facts.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. Like I said, all in all, to close this up, because we'll move on. All in all, Tekken 8, I just say give them some time on the patch updates. I don't even want to discuss about the microtransactions, because it just makes me sick when I think about these the weird microtransactions that they're going to do. DLC, I'm already fine with DLC content, DLC on fighting games, because we've been doing it since this isn't the new thing when it comes to DLC content.
I hate it.
It never has been. It's always been that way. So DLC itself,
that's a precedent.
I just say, yeah, like I said, I think that they just need a mix of old with new. Like, if there's a season pass of like all old characters, like that's been around and established, then yeah, there's a problem with it. Tekken usually is pretty good on bringing new characters in with their DLC content. So I don't know. So I won't be surprised. There's gonna be a mix of new characters. So we'll see how that goes. But Lex.
Well, Scyther, interesting you say that, and I quote, gamers deserve everything we get because we're too lazy to fight it. I present to you the Stop Killing Games petition. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read directly from their site. I will link it. There is also a video explaining more in depth, but to give you a TLDR.
Hey, before you go into it, sure. I will say that. How can I, I couldn't even plan a better segue than that at this point. But anyway,
Scythe is a paid actor.
There you go. But okay, continue on.
Thank you. So there is it's a take action. So it's called Stop Killing Games. The site is dedicated to real world action on ending the practice of publishers destroying video games they have sold to customers. Please click on the take action button below. An increasing number of video games are sold as goods, but designed to be completely unplayable for everyone as soon as support ends. The legality of this practice is untested worldwide, and many governments do not have clear laws regarding these actions. It is our goal to have authorities examine this behavior and hopefully end it, as it is an assault on both consumer rights and the preservation of media. We are pursuing this in two ways. Now, I would like to make a comment here, and if you watch the video, he does state it, only 13% of game media is playable continuously nowadays. 13%. That's crazy to think about. So, action on the crew. The video game, The Crew, published by Ubisoft, was recently destroyed for all players and had a player base of at least 12 million people. Due to the game's size and France's strong consumer protection laws, this represents one of the best opportunities to hold a publisher accountable for this action. If we are successful in charges being pressed against Ubisoft, this can have a ripple effect on the video game industry to prevent publishers from destroying more games. So again, TLDR, there is a game called The Crew. They are using this game as the precedent to then take this forward. Okay. So here's the government petition. Official government petitions have been introduced to prohibit the practice of intentionally rendering commercial video games inoperable when support ends. Currently, petitions for the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia have already been launched and will soon be open for signing. Plans are also underway for the European Union, why did I say that weird? But will unfortunately be delayed due to processing times. Further, government petitions may be started later with enough assistance. So if you are interested in signing this petition, I will link it below. Thank you, Smitty. What they are saying is, we need to stop the killing of the games. Again, The Crew had 12 million as a player base. Ubisoft, as the publisher, took over the servers at some point. And then once they decided they didn't want to service them anymore, they cut it. Now, most times when a game gets cut, let's use the right?
Friday the 13th.
Thank you. My brain died. Let's use that as an example. The game lost its licensing, right? It was to no fault of the publisher themselves, the developers. It just happened. They also now have a game called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You can play that. You can still play that game, though nobody is working on the servers. If you have a group, you can go in and still play it. It is not completely inoperable, right? So though nobody has a disc of this, it is still... you can create your own servers, essentially, is what they're getting at. The publishers don't have to stop it. If people still want to play, we can get our own servers and continue playing. But they are literally and purposefully destroying media that will no longer be played for generations to come, right? And it sucks. It sucks. So hopefully this will get in to the Supreme Court, hopefully, and it will be voted on. Because as a consumer, if I buy a Red Bull, right, and I can hold it in my hand, I can take it home, I can drink it, I can finish the can, and I can throw it away. But if I bought this, and then Smitty, who is Red Bull, the company, decides to just take it out of my hand, I purchase something that I don't get to use, I don't get to drink, I don't get to recycle. As a consumer, that's illegal to points, right? Like there's a legality there that a lot of gamers aren't talking about. So I was curious what you guys thought. I will get off my soapbox and hear what you guys think.
TOS, we are signing that we say that they can do that stuff. I think that's why legally I don't think this goes anywhere, to be honest. I don't think they can easily point at something that says we clearly state that this is a digital project or the product is not owned by the person. There shouldn't, and this is kind of where I agree, because think about how much money it would cost to keep servers up of a game that you're no longer supporting. So now you're just in the red. You're just losing money constantly.
Wait.
And
before you continue, they said if the game and the publishers don't want to continue servers, give us as the consumer the option to pay for our own servers to continue playing with our groups of people for that game. That's essentially what it's saying.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
Yeah. So
I agree.
Right.
That. Yeah.
Because it's not being killed, right? As the consumer can still choose to play if we so want to, but it leaves the option open.
And I don't know what that looks like on the back.
That would be a little bit tough. That would be tough to do, though. Like that.
But in France, they have laws stating that they can't do this. And so that's why it's now getting to the point where it is because France is saying, you guys can't do that. Yes, you publish games in everywhere.
Okay, wait, here's an example of this, though.
Regulations like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the name of the Battlefield? Like it was Battlefield.
Five.
What's the name of it?
One.
No. It was a side Battlefield. Hold on. Let me find it before. But go on. What you were going to say, Smitty. I'll find it real quick.
Yeah.
What you're talking about.
But yeah, and especially within that context, then I think you're right too. We're seeing the same thing with Apple. Over in the EU as well with the, I can't remember the name of the act, but they basically put in place that they can't just have or not allow other companies to run a store in their apps, which is going to be huge. And eventually I hope that makes it over to the States because, you know, again, that's why you can't play Fortnite on Apple is because of that issue. And Apple's kind of petty. I have come to see as well when it comes to that stuff. But I agree, depending on what it takes in the back end, and again, that's something I don't know. If it, you know, depending on how complicated it is, I would rather see it, even if it is a peer-to-peer thing. But the fact that we're just losing media, again, this isn't, and I know that we were talking a little bit beforehand, but with like Funimation going over to Crunchyroll, any purchases you made on Funimation does not transfer over to Crunchyroll.
Correct.
You just lost it. It's just gone. Yep.
Bye.
You buy anything on Funimation, it just bloop.
They said, sucks to be you, nerd.
Yeah. So clearly there is regulation. We're getting to a point where they're going to have no choice but to put in regulations and all kinds of things, which of course is going to drastically change how these corporations operate, which again, for me, I think is a good thing. We're seeing it already now where, and this is just becoming more and more prevalent each year, just how much the corpo is getting involved in the creating and making of good games and distribution. That's why we're seeing AAA games, quadruple A games, the some would say, absolutely tank.
Yeah, okay.
And you got things like PAL World and Helldivers 2 that are exploding. People aren't going to fall for those weak-ass shenanigans, especially when you put a premium price tag on it, when you can clearly see as gamers, this is just something that's hobbled together to basically make money. Suicide Squad. You know, so... That's how I feel about it. But yes, I agree 100%. I'm glad that there's things like this. I will sign that petition as well because there needs to be regulations clearly to be put in place because these corporations are not acting in good faith when it comes to this stuff. And this is mainly because there's nothing stopping them.
Right. Well, and tiny side note, think about it this way. We don't buy music the way that we used to, right? Now vinyls are coming back. Oh my god, so are tapes, which mine got ransacked by children not too long ago, but they all got Walkmans. Those are back. Crazy. We don't consume media like the way we used to. That's fine. That's neither here nor there. But with music, I own the CD, right? Nobody's going to come back. I don't own it. I don't own the music. I didn't write it. I didn't produce it. But nobody's going to come knocking on my door and say, yeah, we don't want to give me the CD back. You know what I mean? It's crazy to think about that. That's the world we live in now. Sorry, Davis. I will let you talk. I'll shut up.
No, I hate to say it, but Davis is right. Physical God needs to stay.
Listen, this is what...
physical media. I have lots of DVDs.
It's like, it's making me sick to my stomach to say that Davis is right. But no, the whole thing is this.
I never said he were wrong. I just want to point that out.
The whole thing is this, in my opinion. Like, this is the thing that I have been preaching this forever. Because, like, that's why I have physical copies of game. Now, the only time that I'm not saying I don't buy digital. The only time I do buy digital is when I absolutely have to. Or... it's justifiably makes more sense for me to do it. Like Street Fighter VI is fully digital for me. But where it comes to like this, it's hard to say because there's two different kinds of approaches because y'all are kind of describing two different kinds of scenarios in my mind in this. The one scenario is the fact that, yeah, if a game goes offline that you bought digitally and then one day they decided to say, oh, too bad. We don't want to keep the servers open so you lose the game. We won't give you your money back. That stuff needs to be definitely regulated because that's my main worry because digital media is not cheap. Digital media is always full value, full price most of the time. And then when there is a discount, you don't get that same level of discounts that what you would have gotten if you had a physical DVD or a game version of it. One, two. Depending on the game itself, like for instance, I was gonna say like Battlefield Bad Company 2 was one of my favorite games to play.
That's what it was. It was
a great game to play. And then to say that obviously that game came out during the PS3 era. Then when they retconned on Battlefield, they were focusing on that. So then Battlefield Bad Company was dead at this point. But the servers were up for a little bit. Then they eventually said, okay, we're shutting down the servers of Bad Company 2. Sorry. Now, theoretically, it's a physical game. You can still play it if you have a physical copy of the game. However, online, you cannot because online is there. But in the sense, theoretically, if that game was online 100%, and then they shut down the server. They shut down the servers. I don't think they're shutting down the servers because of they're just like, oh, we're tired of using it. they're clearly losing money because like there's only like the amount of people are coming in on that deal. But to say that they come to the choice that since they're losing money on this game, and then to say, oh, we'll let the people, like if someone wants to play Bad Company 2, they should have the right to be able to get go to the company to do it. I don't know. That one's a little bit because it's a little bit kind of 50-50, because I mean, what nowadays what people can do, especially with modders and creators and stuff like that, I don't know if I would trust the public to a point to be like, oh, okay, EA gave me an IP that gave me the rights and they said it's okay for me to do to use it. I just think that could be a double-edged sword in itself. Like for instance, The Crew, 12 million total was the deal, but I was looking at the list of like what the concurrent viewers were or players aren't, because this game is 100% online on the online, and just in the past year, their highest that they ever had on The Crew 1 was 1,045, but their average was 630 a month. And then when you're putting a server on a game like that, and you're not getting a good return on it, it's just going to be a matter of time, and they'll be like, okay, we're going to try to keep it as long as we possibly can, but we can't keep on getting these L's until because it's going to start affecting our bottom line. So we got to go. Hey. So I understand that. So, but like,
right.
But
as
like,
do I.
Yeah.
Please don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Yeah. So I guess in my thing is, depending on the scenario of what that petition is, I need to look into it. I would need to know exactly how, like, or what the plan, what their plans are, or how they're talking about what they're trying to preserve on digital media, because saying digital media is such a blanketed statement. There's going to be so many caveats and so many different kinds of ways that you can interpret what digital media is. And now, like you're saying, most games are mostly like into that aspect. And my biggest fear is like one day I'm going to want to play a game that I've always loved, but I can't because it was 100% digital. And then if it's gone, it's gone. I would sign that, but I would need to go more in depth exactly on what exactly are they talking about when it comes to that. Cause there are some good points, and there are some kind of points that I'm like, I don't know if I would really care, would really back that, you know.
I get it. Accursed Farms, they do have a video. It's about 30 minutes long. It does break down everything with the petition, how it works, why they're using The Crew specifically as like the main game to get in on this, because it does break laws in other countries. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot more detail to it. Again, it's one of those things we could talk for 2 hours if we wanted to get into it. But obviously, I don't want to hold y'all for that long. It's Saturday night. But I will post the link to the video so you guys can watch it. And so you can watch it too, Davis. It is very interesting. It was also talked about yesterday on Phil DeFranco. So it's hitting news.
There definitely needs to be regulations of companies doing
it. Let us play offline.
No doubt. Let us play offline. Yeah, but the problem is like there's some games that are like Helldivers 2 will not work offline. You have to play online for that. There's
no
ifs, ands, or buts on that. And then to say that like, oh, let's say Helldivers 2 drops down to 200 a month, and they'll obviously Sony's going to be like, okay, we need to shut this down because we're losing money. I would not want to say, oh, this is a very good IP that Sony owns that we're going to let other people go into the source code to go into it just so they can play the game. I don't think that's feasible for logical for them, because I think that would be kind of stupid for them to do that. It'll be like, okay, why you can either make a new one or see what your other options are. But like, yeah, to reserve the right on that is a little bit too much, in my opinion.
I don't think it's necessarily them saying like, give us the IP as a consumer. It's saying, let us have the option to open servers and continue play.
That's essentially the IP. Yeah. I mean, I think you own the IP.
Right.
But you're still getting the source codes for all of that. Like the best example of that is the new City of Heroes. The City of Heroes, those people were from NC. NCSoft was when NCSoft had the had it, and then they shut down their servers. Then a bunch of modders did it, made their own servers. But then NCSoft was cool and gave them the right the rights to make it official key, the official key towards that, towards that. Yeah, which is unheard of. No one does that.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
So I'm just saying that
they did reserve the right to be able to shut it down.
Yes.
However, though, mm-hmm.
in the event that they make another game, which I don't know if you guys have ever read the terms and service on stuff. It's pretty silly, and there's a bunch of like jack bull to put it nicely inside, like silly things. You're like, this is someone's grocery list. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So if you ever are bored, read some of the terms and conditions. And Scyther makes a good point. He goes, even if I, you know, signed, because we all sign essentially when we're purchasing a game, you know, virtually we're signing an agreement. But if there was even an agreement that this game is fit for purchase for a minimum period of 5 years, then at least you've agreed that for 5 years, if the game is dead, that's okay. Right. So I think, you know, we'll see, but I was intrigued by it. I would very highly recommend watching the video. I've watched it 3 times because every time I watch it, like I pick up a new bit of information that I didn't quite click the first time, but it's very interesting. And I think they have something going there, you know? So that was my topic.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very interesting topic, I would say.
Thank you.
I was like, but there you go. Let's close this off with Smitty. What are you bringing to the table?
Speaking of collaborations, like Waffle House and Tekken, we got another crazy one. You're like a dragon there.
I know, I'm going to die.
We got another, this one is crazy and I love it. I think it's a great marketing opportunity.
Me too.
But Multiversus is teaming up with the NHL to basically simulcast the Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche NHL game. Here on the 14th, it looks amazing. If anything, if you've seen like the NFL on Nickelodeon, this is like it, but like to the extreme. They're going to be utilizing the puck and player tracking technology of the NHL as well as the arena, which I didn't know because this is actually...
Thumbs up with the volume, guys. I think we're... Hold on. Pause real quick.
Sorry.
Turn the volume off.
I muted it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wait, what
happened? You guys okay now? Yeah, Smitty, start over.
The game volume was... the video volume.
You didn't have it paused?
Yeah, I didn't know there was video volume. My bad.
Okay. They say we're all good. Start over, Smitty. And from the top,
go. So, trust me, at the get-go, this is good. Multiverses and NHL are collaborating on top with True TV, which is TNT. But essentially what's happening here on the 14th of this month, Golden Knights versus the Colorado Avalanche, and they're going to be simulcasting the actual game over on True TV as basically Multiverses characters or Warner Brother characters. You'll have Bugs Bunny, Batman, all those folks from the from that, along with the environments like rotating and stuff like that. The technology on this is absolutely bonkers. They're going to be utilizing the NHL's puck tracking and player tracking along with the actual stadiums tracking as well. So this is fun. I think it's kind of akin to like NFL on Nickelodeon, but like on steroids. The fact that it's going to be like these characters and it's fully animated, like real-time animation with this stuff as a game. I'm absolutely going to watch this on True TV. I think that's free, I'm not 100% sure.
I have it as a bundle with something else now recently. So
I'm guessing maybe something with TNT.
Yeah.
But they're saying, yeah, they're saying the ice rink for the alternate telecast will be dynamic, incorporate rotating elements based on environments from the multiverses game, such as the Space Jam Court, Adventure Time, Tree Fort, Sky Arena, and Trophy's Edge. Like, dude, I think this is not only that, but like, for a game that I could have sworn just died out of nowhere, they're all of a sudden like, oh yeah, you guys have been playing a beta this whole time. We're going to go ahead and take it offline. We'll be back sometime like next year.
Right. And we all thought they were lying.
And then I could have sworn there was something that was like, I could have sworn there was something where they were like, we're going to release the game, but we're not going to support the game. Right. Maybe I just dreamt that. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know, dude. Maybe it was a fever dream. I don't know. But it is coming back, and I think this is a great cross-promotional, just unexpected, what an attention grabber. It's fun. Kids will be able to be like, ooh, you know, this is a kind of another avenue for them to get into the NHL.
Yeah,
exactly. Sports, video games. I know they try to do a lot of tie-ins together, well, at least esports, so this kind of makes sense in that, but like, this just blew me away that this was even a thing, and the fact that it's the Golden Knights too, I was just like, I didn't even know they had the technology to do something like this.
This is, and we were talking before pod started, like, what the technology would have to be to be able to do this. They've been working on this for a hot minute. Also, I would like to point out, I offered to buy this game tickets for this game, and Smitty said, but I want to watch Bugs Bunny. So I offered, I was going to be like, tickets on me, bud, let's go get some beers and watch some hockey. And you said, no, thank you. So I will be at the hockey game by myself, apparently.
It's the same kind of viewing experience, though, because it's like,
you don't get to bang on the boards.
Like, if you want to see Bugs Bunny play hockey, you can't be at the game. That's just what it is.
I know.
That's the tough part. I will, you know what I mean? Like, I think we could still have a freaking multiverses NHL party or something.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know what I mean? Like, we could have a watch party or something. Like, I'd totally be down with that.
I've got the thing. What's it called? The projector. I have a projector.
We could put something
in a backyard and go crazy. I love this. I think this is great. As a kid, I was a competitive figure skater. Anytime my favorite cartoons skated in the show, oh, my little heart. So I absolutely agree. I think this is going to get kids pumped because they also do this for the NFL to an extent, right? I know we have the Nickelodeon thing, and
like
that.
You go through, like when they get touchdowns, there's like slant slime and
that's
stuff
right.
like that.
They but
like
put stuff on
it's
the
like
screen.
Overlays over the actual game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is fantastic. I love this. I want to see the game, but I also want to watch this too. So I'm kind of with you on that, Smitty. Let's have a party. I think this is fantastic. I love it. And think about the technology. There's something on the pucks. There's something on the player's skates. There's something on their sticks. All around the boards, they have to have probably every, I don't know, 12 inches, some sort of device that is being triggered to then put this game on the board in its sequence, right? So this isn't just it's kind of like the game, but it's your favorite characters. No. Each player has physical things on them, body, skates, sticks, all of it. And so they've had to been working on this for a while because, I mean, they hit that puck hard and it goes 60 miles an hour, you know?
I think overall, like, this is something that Multiverses needs to do. Is they definitely need to get their name out there again. So I guess what other way would be to kind of do it during the the NHL playoffs to do it. So I mean, yeah, they're just trying to get, like, you know, eyes on it. And I think, and I would never have guessed that this would be what they would decide to do. I think it's awesome. It's very out of the box idea that could really show people be like, wow, this is freaking awesome. You know,
it's a win-win for both companies.
I want to see like the Iron Giant be like on the ice. That's all I want. Yeah, just it's like, hey, just put the Iron Giant on here.
He's a little big. Maybe he can drop the puck in the beginning. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or he can be a ref on the outside of the rink.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He would be huge in there.
He needs to be a goalie.
His hand comes in and punches somebody in the when they go flying or something.
He just stays in the fetal position in front of the net. It's like, good luck.
Well, what I really want to see is if there's a fight in the game,
dude,
is it going?
That's what I was thinking.
I just want to see Bugs like beat the shit out of Batman or something.
That would be hilarious.
Well, it looks like the other team isn't going to be players. It looks like our team are going to be Bugs Bunny, Velma, whoever, right? So if you look, the other team are just regular little duders.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious.
So maybe now to get some coin, they'll be like, hey, Colorado Avalanche, you made it into the playoffs. For your next game, your players can be this, right? And then it's now they've totally tapped into a new revenue. That's it's like, crazy.
It's just, it's sick.
Why is sick. Like it's like, hey, why is Sidney Crosby beating Velma up on the ring the ice rink?
That dude just hit Velma in the face.
It's like, oh my God.
Wonder Woman goes flying into the boards. Well, it's interesting because they don't have
giant
boards
will be
up.
The Zamboni.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
That would be amazing. They clearly don't have Taz out there as a skater for obvious reasons. He was my buddy. He was my pal. As a
so
child.
I guess I love. So I guess the question is like, is this? So when are they going to be doing this, or have they started doing this?
It's happening next week,
April 14th.
Oh, so
12. Week, okay. I think the game starts at 12:30. Wait, is it 12:30
next
Pacific
week after.
Time? 8:30 a.m.
Not next week, the week before.
Time.
Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, the week after. So like in 2 weeks.
I think Taz is a ref, is I believe what the boys had said.
So it needs to be like
Yeah. And then the game relaunches May 28th.
Yeah. Wait, think about this idea. Scyther said, and I'm getting a tiny bit off topic, an entire ice skating routine at the ends in 5 seconds flat. What if for the Winter Olympics, they had for like the skaters or the pair skaters so that you could, as a child, watch your favorite, you know, Bugs and what's the guy that shoots him a lot?
Elmer Fudd
as pair partners for the U.S. team. Like, how funny would that be? I would love that. But yeah, so I'm tempted.
So it's going to be on True TV and Max.
Yes.
So there's two opportunities, but it is based only in the States. So you'll have to watch for uploads after.
I'll have it on my Discord.
Definitely going to check that out. Man, that's so interesting, man. That's like, wow, well, that's cool.
On my Discord, y'all.
Man, insane.
I did that. How do you bet on here in Vegas? Any sports book. Yeah. You
can do it from your phone now.
Well, you have to physically go in. If you live in Nevada, you have to physically go in the first time. Whereas in other states, in other states, you can do it remotely. Yeah. It's weird, dude.
So
like, it'll block you regionally.
Yeah, it's on your phone. So like I would go up to the Durango. I would go to the sports book. I would go to the kiosk. I would show them my ID. I would get like a code for their sports book or any of the station's casinos because that's what's closest to me. And then I would be able to bet from home after that.
You have to go the first time. You can't go to like FanDuel.com and then, but you like if you're in Vegas, you can't go on FanDuel.com and then do a bet online. You would have to still physically go to a place to place your bet in Vegas.
No, different. That works. Yeah,
I'm talking about like our specific casinos,
places that are physically here.
Right?
Okay.
Now that's different because A, you're in a different state. You know what I'm saying? But I know with outside now. This isn't every all of them, but I would be very wary about outside betting places because I believe you have to put X amount of money down and it is not guaranteed that if you win or lose that bet that you would get that money back if you won plus whatever your winnings were. Some of them are real sketchy, so please be careful or call a friend in Vegas and be like, hey, can you go place this bet for me? And Venmo them.
If you want to place sporting bets, go to WeBreakThumbs.com. Trust me.
It's owned by my uncle, Bruce. Yeah.
folks. Thank you for listening to episode number 214 of the CFG Gamecast. Thank you for being a part of the conversation, as always. We will be back again next week with a whole new set of different kinds of topics to discuss. So if you did miss out on this episode, that is all right. We do release this episode on all podcast services at the beginning of each and every Monday morning. So there is absolutely no reason to miss out on our sexy, sexy voices. Guys, be sure to check out our main website called freaksandgeeks.com and our new podcast, the new episode podcast of Risa May, the voice actor who is playing Beelzebub in the new Sandland anime and video game. It was a really good, cool interview. I really loved her. But definitely check it out. So once again, this is Davis, Lex, and Smitty signing out. Y'all, take it easy.
Okay, I'll leave. Bye-bye.